Thank you, Doug. The talents are endless. Welcome in on a Monday. It is incredible. You know, we have two college football teams basically ranked in the top 10, undefeated. You know, we have a beautiful song like that to open up. Rico's in a sensual hat. We're all healthy.
I'm glad you pay attention. I've worn this four times.
I just generally don't like looking at you. The point is, then there's the Lions. And it's, I struggle because I am openly telling you, I am trying to be patient. I am trying to show this new regime some grace. But I have one rule for coaches, whether I like or dislike your philosophies on football, whether I like or dislike you as a human being, the way you act, the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you treat players. I can put most things aside. But I have one rule as a head coach, and it's very, very simple. Run the game right. And what I mean by that is we can have conversations about analytics, about how they're employed, about most decisions. But there's a small space reserved for things that are non-negotiable, right? You hear about non-negotiables in life. Certain jobs, it's a non-negotiable. You know, right. You work for the government, you're not going to be able to travel to certain places. You're not going to be able to smoke dope. You're not going to be able to do certain non-negotiable. Your spouse, certain non-negotiables, and you learn about those as you start together. As a head coach, there's a small space where there isn't another side. There is no debate. It is a non-negotiable that you either do it right or you do it wrong. And yesterday, for me, I know you differ a little bit. For me, Dan Campbell got strike one. And this isn't about a game plan, not about a draft pick, not about who played this many snaps or who should have done this. There are moments in a game, and it's my golden rule, run the game right. You are down 10 points. I don't care how we got there. We can debate those things. But you are down 10 points, under 5 minutes to go, and you have a chip shot field goal. It's fourth and one. You kick the ball. You go down seven. You got timeouts in your pocket. You've got a rookie QB on the other side of the field that was nowhere near as hot in the second half as he was in the first. You take the points. You go down by a score. You've battled back from three scores down. Take points. Instead, Dan Campbell, like Patrick Swayze in the SNL skit, ripped his Velcro pants off and started dancing to Working for the Weekend. No huddle, fourth and one, incomplete, game over. And why is it game over? Because now you don't have any time to get two scores. After the game, Dan Campbell offered you, I trusted my gut. Nope, not having it. Run the game right. Now look, if you are Andy Reid, you have a Super Bowl ring. You have Mahomes, Hill, Kelsey, credibility. And you decide you want to color outside the lines of your placemat at the ground round, we'll have a conversation. You are not Andy Reid. You do not have a ring. You do not have any of the players we discussed. You are, in fact, a bucket of vomit as a roster. And you have the ability to give that locker room a chance to win a game. Run the game right. See, all the other things, and Rico and I are going to debate some of these. I know you guys will debate some of these. All the other things Dan Campbell has or has not done this year, I can at least have a conversation. Rico and I could sit down, and in his case, it wouldn't be a beer, it'd be a club soda, but we could sit down and have a conversation, and he goes, this is how I feel, this is how I feel. Two sides of issues.
Right.
Yesterday, fourth and one, no huddle, under 5 minutes to go, down 10. There is no other opinion. There is no other side. And for the head coach to once again, and I talked about it last week, these guys never admit they're wrong. They never tell you they made the wrong move. He decided to give you half of it and go, well, I wish we would have huddled up. No. I wish you would have taken a deep breath. Not like Mel Gibson on a phone. I just take a calming breath. Take the points. Because I will tell you, you're down 7 with 4 and change plus timeouts. There's a very good chance you're getting that football with a chance to tie that game. And instead, you took away your team's ability to compete. And what I don't like with this guy, and Lord knows, I told you, I'm going to do everything I can to not judge this guy because of the roster. But when you do things that are unequivocally caveman, unequivocally football guy, unequivocally stupid, and really, for lack of a better term, just unequivocally wrong, it's a strike against the record. Yesterday was Dan Campbell's first Lion coach moment.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, we'll debate the, for me, I'm a human, I have feelings.
No, it wasn't. You just lowered the bar.
248-539-9797, let's get into it.
Pick up the phone and start dialing.
Rico, please.
Wasn't his first moment, Mike. He's done this over and over again. People told me that, you know, I'm biting off kneecaps, I'm going to be that guy putting on the helmet.
Tell me why.
Please don't. I wanted to see that aggressiveness on the field. And this goes back to me. That first moment for me was at Green Bay right before the half. And you were actually beating the Packers. You know, didn't look like, Aaron Rodgers was interested in the game. Maybe a knockout blow before the half. You decided to power it down, kick the field goal. You know what everybody told me? No, it was the smart thing to do. Okay, fine.
I liked it.
You kicked the field goal.
I did like it.
But I was all about, you told me you all fire and brimstone. Okay, fine. Last week against the Ravens, you had an opportunity. Knockout blow late in the game. What'd you do? You powered it down.
Didn't like
it. You kicked the field goal. Now, I'm thinking yesterday, well, I know exactly what you're going to do. You're going to power this thing down, kick the field goal, and try to get the ball back because you're down 2 scores, 10 points. No. Like, it's so inconsistent to me. Either you're Tommy Tough guy or you're going to be, you know, Steve Soft guy. I don't know which one you're going to be. But he is so passive aggressive when it comes to his style. I don't know what to expect. You can't tell me I'm all in and you pick and choose. You go for it on the very first series. But then later on, you decide, nah, we're just going to kick the field goal. If you want to just go all out, I'm okay with that because this is a bad team. I expect them now to lose 14, 15 games. But if you want to go down swinging every game, man, I don't care. What's the difference?
But be married to it.
Right.
Be married to a philosophy with the current roster and stick to it. Then we build an expectation of what you're going to do in these moments. And then you're going to do what we expect.
Right.
And the success or failure of those things is always going to be debated, but we'll know what you're about. See, I'm with Rico on this, guys. And again, 248-539-9797. You know what I've said. I have a hard time judging anything because this roster's terrible, but I will tell you, when coaches do stupid stuff, they have to be judged. It has taken everything in my power not to really lose my temper on it because, look, whatever Dan Campbell preaches in practice or whatever he decides to do with his players, it's his business. And wins and losses will dictate. But when you do things out in the open that are just so brazenly stupid, 4th and 1, down 10, 4 and change, chip shot field goal, you got to take it. Oh, well, if we gotten it, you would have what? You would have used more time. You may or may not have ended up back in the same place kicking a field goal. And if you don't get it, the game's over. The risk-reward was not aligned. This was an absolute Caldwell-Schwartz-Patricia moment. Mm-hmm. It's a bad job. And look, you guys have begged me not to judge this guy for kneecaps. And you beg me not to judge him for the racing helmet. And you beg me not to judge him for the pet lion. And I go, guys, listen, this is a cheap bit. This is a wrestling act. I care about football. I'll leave it alone. But what did I say to you? When you do dumb stuff, not at the podium, not at a racetrack, right? Not at an interview. When you start doing the dumb stuff between the white lines and it affects winning and losing, you don't leave me an out. There's no grace. There's no understanding. I mean, it's like a radio host who goes on the air and can't stop saying the F word. You're not going to have a job in radio. If you're a football coach and you can't stop doing dumb things between the lines, you're not going to be here for long. And I got bad news for you. All of the WCW high-flying, jet-riding, parlay-playing, or whatever, you know, the Ric Flair speech, that ain't going to work when this team's 0-7 headed to the bye week. That ain't going to work when the guys in the locker room look at it and go, wait a minute, is this guy putting us in the best situation to succeed? Rico, we can debate the other things. I ain't mad at you. If you want to hold him to that deal where you're like, hey, it's strike three, you do it.
No. I can combine the three, but I'm seeing
pick up the phone this, and start dialing.
This is a pattern with him. I say this, but I really don't mean that.
He's a guy searching for his leadership style.
You know what he is? He's a guy that got a job he wasn't prepared for. He's a guy that got a job who was a tight ends coach, not an offensive coordinator, and you made him a head coach. And now he's trying to get the identity. So you know what he's trying to do? I'm going to say some stuff for the fans to fire them up, but then I'm also pulling out the little book of how to coach and how to do the right moves. What would this guy do?
And listen, they do play hard for him. They do try.
For now.
And that's the key. How long do you have? Hey, look, you ain't beating the Vikings in Minnesota next week. And I'm sorry, preseason, the Bengals look like a win. They're 3-1. Defense much improved. They pound the rock. I don't know you beating them. Then you get the Eagles who can score 40. You know, you start to look at this and you go, I don't know if there's a win before the bye week. You could be 0-7. So what Rico's saying has merit because I just can't live at the highest level. This isn't the MAC. No offense to our friends in the Mid-American Conference. This isn't a first-time college coach. This isn't being a coordinator. There are 32 jobs on the globe to be an NFL head coach. I do not find mistakes acceptable. Right. If you make a mistake with something you say, I will forgive you. But between the lines, we're talking about high school arithmetic here. Down 10, 4 and change. I have a chance to win this game. It's a rookie QB on the other side. I have battled back. I can draw within 7. Rally the troops on the sideline and go, fellas, one stop, one score, and we're back. And you go no huddle into an incomplete pass and take away your team's chance to win, I will tell you, unequivocally stupid.
Yeah. The Lions have found out there is actually something worse than first-year head coach with rookie quarterback. First-year head coach with lame duck quarterback that you don't plan on keeping around because that's the situation that you're in. I thought it was bad what's going on in Jacksonville, what's going on with the Jets. No, because they may eventually stumble upon something. This is actually worse because
rebuild hasn't started.
Yeah.
Which is, again, why I will say to you, imagine if you're 0-4. 0-5, 0-6. Why are we holding on to people like Taylor Decker?
What's
the point here again?
How about 0-6 and then looking at the quarterback draft and saying, we got to do this again next year?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll be honest with you.
Do you realize that they could have 30 losses in the next 2 years?
Take it easy. How about 25? Can we go 20? Can you meet me at 25? Meet me at 25.
Really?
Don't be hyperbolic.
Okay, no. You're the same guy saying, they're not beating this team. They're not beating this. If they're not beating all these teams, Mike, you know what that means? You're losing.
These scones are dry.
Okay.
248-539-9797. Guys.
You know, we were in two-minute mode. And so we were going and, we got down there, and he's flowing with it, you know, and so he's going, and you know, I just think that's on me. I just think we need to huddle and give them a play call that's a little more, fourth down oriented, fourth and short, fourth and a yard, and put that on us, you know?
Tell me why. I want it that Hell yeah. way.
Thanks, Doug. I think Dan Campbell, to me, that was, unfortunately, that's strike one. Like, that's strike one on your way to being lionized. Hey, man, I've been patient. I didn't make that big of a deal. Like, last week, didn't like what he did. We debated it. Week before, Rico had an issue. We debated it. There's no debate to yesterday. Yesterday, fourth and one, under 5 minutes, down 10. That was stupid. I could take a fan off the street and they can make a better decision. You cannot go for it there. Cannot. Because the opportunity cost is the game's over. Period. It's why coaches, when you go and you go, all right, hey, you know, we're down by X. Coach, like for instance, now the new hotness is if you're down by 14, you go for two. Because if you get it and then you score again, you win the game. Versus if you don't, you get another crack at it to tie the game. So it's a new analytic, but it makes sense. I don't love it, but I get it because the opportunity cost is, at worst, I got to bat 50% on two-point plays, and I end up tied anyways. At best, I steal a game. Huge upside. The opportunity cost of doing what Dan Campbell did yesterday was maybe end up in same spot, maybe score, or if I don't, game over. Dead. Body bag.
It made no sense, but...
Tell me why.
This is...
Come on, Doug.
Tell me why.
This is what he went for. For me, be consistent. You want to be that guy who goes for it on your very first possession against the 49ers. Understand, you're going to set a tone. Fine. You don't have the pieces that you want, but this is how we're going to play. And maybe that style attracts players in free agency saying, you know what? I want to play for the kooky coach. Fine. But
I'm trying to build a culture here, and I'm trying to maybe, build some hope. But Mike,
maybe that culture is I'm going for it. We're kicking onside kicks. We're going for it. We're not punting the ball. We're going to always be foot on the gas.
But you're not.
I'm okay with that if you're consistent with that. He's not. Because yesterday, I'm sitting there like, you're just going to kick the field goal like he did the other couple times, right?
Here's the other
thing. No, we're going for it.
You have to also factor in the players that you have at your disposal with the analytics. I don't think you can do one without the other. So for people who are saying, well, listen, even if mathematically it made sense to do it, you don't have DeAndre Hopkins or Davante Adams running that route. You have Khalif Raymond. Again, noted Bigby coffee expert. Like, you have guys.
Barista.
Right. You have guys that are going to be working in the tile aisle at Home Depot. So it's no disrespect to our friends Hawk and Tile. I'm just saying, you're not NFL receivers. You can't expect that play to work there. Now, if you have a DK Metcalf and you go, look, you're going to post this guy up. I'm going to put the ball anywhere in a 10-foot door jam and he's going to get the first down. You can make different decisions, but there, it doesn't matter if I have Jerry Rice. I'm kicking the field goal.
You do have TJ Hockenson.
I'm going to say this to you again, and I will stand by this. Tight ends are not what make it go, right? It's like running backs. They're luxuries. They're unbelievable to have. But right now, if you ask me who's more valuable to what Kansas City does, Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce, it's Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill keeps safeties 20 yards out of the box. Tyreek Hill can still get behind those safeties. You could put your safeties in the fifth row of the stands with a beer hat on. Tyreek Hill will still get behind them.
What about an engine?
But you get my point.
Right.
You know, again, when your biggest play and it's on the line and all the chips are down, guess who didn't touch the ball? TJ Hockenson. You're busy throwing a ball to, you know, Bumpy Johnson or whoever you got starting at wide receiver.
Well, and I'm glad you kind of brought up the Chiefs there because people are texting in left and right. The Chiefs went for it, fourth and two, threw it with a backup quarterback. But I don't think they quite understand the difference.
Andy Reid, who is one of the great offensive minds in the history of the sport, one of the best play callers in the history of the sport, first. Second of all, the Chiefs' infrastructure from the offensive line to the skill players, to the scheme they run, to the results that what I have just talked about has produced. Allow the Chiefs to be the exception and not the rule. So yes, doing what they did with Chad Henne, different than what you're allowed to do.
And okay? But no, here's the other thing about the Chiefs. They had a lead. They were saying, you're not getting the ball back.
Right, it's false equivalency. Down 10 with under 5 to go.
Right.
Take the field goal.
Right.
Tell your offense, great work. Now let us get the ball back for you.
Yeah, because if you're the Chiefs, yeah, okay, we'll kick this and you got enough time to score. They had the lead. So rather than give you the ball back and maybe beat us,
right,
we're going to get this first down right, and we're taking knees.
And I also think that's an example of people not actually watching other football teams because the Chiefs, that's their go-to play.
Right.
Goal line situations and they need something quick, that's what they do.
And
that play right there is what they use.
Cleveland knew what was coming and couldn't stop it with the backup QB.
Exactly.
Everybody in the house knew, David, you're right. They knew the play that was coming down. You're not stopping this. So here we go.
248-539-9797. We'll get to your phone calls in a second. David, the ticket text, though. You alluded we're getting a lot of responses.